We read now from the Gospel of Mark, the 7th chapter, at the 27th verse. Listen again for God's word. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The word of the Lord. He has done everything well. Wouldn't it be great if after someone has told a couple of stories about you, their final comment would be, "She has done everything well." Quite a statement. He has done everything well. That's what the Gospel of Mark says about Jesus. And by the end of these two stories, we probably agree, but it doesn't seem to start out that way. In fact, it begins with Jesus a bit cranky. He's arrived at a home in Tyre. Tyre, a town to the north of Jesus' usual stomping grounds. Like Decapolis, the site of the other story, it's a place where Gentiles populate. Not many of his people there. In other words, Jesus is away from his home turf, hanging out with Gentiles, the outsiders. And he's trying to get away from it all, to take a break. Maybe he's not in the mood to mingle with a bunch of Gentiles. Maybe he's worn out from all his activities, but he's trying to hide out in this house. But a woman comes to find him. A Gentile. A Syrophoenician. She's not part of the target audience for Jesus' ministry. But here she comes anyway. A desperate mother whose little daughter is sick. We're not told how she knows Jesus is there or why she would even think that he could do something about her daughter. But we know. We know a desperate mother will do almost anything to save her daughter. She arrives unannounced and falls at his feet. Her presence a reminder to us who hear this story that Jesus always seems to have a target on his back. We mention it mostly when those who want to argue with him or show his errors or challenge him, when they seek him out. But he's got a target for those who are desperate as well. those who are looking for someone to save them, to heal them. And she has found him and thrown herself on her knees before him. And Jesus gets a bit cranky. She asks for him to heal, and he answers with a sharp remark that seems to suggest that she is no more than a dog, and as such, unworthy of anything Jesus can offer her. She responds. She responds like a desperate mother willing to accept anything from Jesus if he will just heal his daughter. Don't I even get the crumbs? Some biblical scholars suggest their exchange and his sharp response reveals Jesus' humanity, his human side that shows he is tired and cranky and does not want to deal with anyone, including this mother. Other biblical scholars suggest Jesus knows what she's going to say, that he sort of sets this up and her response so that others can hear and see what he's going to do. I don't know if either theory is correct, but I do know that a desperate mother appeals to Jesus to heal her daughter, and he does. Without even going to see her. Jesus hears the pleas of the desperate. In doing so, he reveals the God of the Israelites, who generation after generation has heard their cries and acted to save and redeem them. If you hear nothing else this morning, hear this. The good news. God hears our desperate pleas and responds to heal and save us. That truth reveals our call as the body of Christ as well. We are in this world to hear the pleas of the desperate, to bring to them the hope and the help of God's saving grace. As we have heard and watched the unfolding of Hurricane Florence, you've probably heard mention the Cajun Navy. You may remember that term from previous hurricanes. It goes back, of course, to Hurricane Katrina in Louisiana. Former Louisiana State Senator Nick Gautreau put out a plea across local TV and radio for anyone who wants to go help the people of New Orleans, please come to the Acadiana Mall. And close to 400 boats and people showed up. And they went to where people were crying out to be saved from the raging waters. And it began their work that now anytime there's a hurricane, they send their people to go rescue those in need. Over 10,000 people have been plucked from the raging waters. Waters by the Cajun Navy. As the body of Christ, we are called to listen for the cries of the desperate and answer. Go and be with them and offer them God's saving grace. This story is paired with another story. A story of Jesus healing the blind man with a speech impediment. Notice that our role as the body of Christ continues to be lifted up. We're told that his friends, this happens in other places in Mark, but it happens here, that his friends bring the man to Jesus. The deaf man with a speech problem is not left alone. He doesn't have to figure it out for himself. Someone knows about Jesus, thinks that maybe he can help. And they take him there. They bring him there for healing. And in their actions, they model for us our task as the body of Christ to notice those in need, to bring them to find healing and hope. And the story also has a single Aramaic word that Jesus utters. Finger in the ear, spit on the finger and in the mouth. Then Ephphatha. Really, if I'd had the time with young disciples earlier in the week, I'd probably stop and say, it is kind of gross. So human. So real. That's Jesus. In that moment, bursting out with this Aramaic word to the crowd. As it's told and written, it's told and written to people who may not know what it means, so they add the Greek translation, be opened. And it calls our attention to this moment. This moment of healing, this very real moment of change in this man's life, but also the reminder to us to be opened, to listen for what God is doing in our midst, to listen for those who are crying out, and then speak up and go be a part of what God is doing as God hears those cries. Be opened. Open our hands, our hearts, and our mouths to share God's power to change the world. He has done everything well. Are we doing everything well? Amen.